It's leadership at all levels. Now in its eighth year, with our host Gail Lowney-Olofsson, Director of Corporate Partnerships and Community Relations for the Newport International Boat Show, a division of Newport Restaurant Group, where her career has focused on building decades of corporate partnerships through leadership, gratitude, and positivity. As an adjunct professor at the University of Rhode Island, Salve Regina University, and Western Connecticut State University, Gail appreciates the opportunity to share business acumen and optimistic views on life. She is the author of Yours Someday Is Now, What Are You Waiting For? 100% of the book's sales benefit nonprofit organizations, and to date, over $50,000 has been donated to nonprofit organizations. Hello, Gail.
Bruce, hello. This show is so needed, today's show, because as we approach 2024, what would you think is one of the most common New Year's resolutions?
I would say to be sincere and truthful.
Oh, I love that one, but I didn't see that when I was Googling them.
Ah.
So, but I'll add that to mine. People want to lose weight.
Oh.
They want to exercise more. They want to save time. They might want to find a new job, start a new life. But a great big resolution, one that I've seen and heard about many times, is getting more organized. Getting more organized. Bruce, do you have any need to get more organized for 2024?
Always. Always, always.
Always.
I feel like I'm on the treadmill.
Well, today we have an amazing speaker and professional organizer who is the founder and president of Living Harmony. Since 2003, that's 20 years already. She has helped people get organized for their success. I met Erica through National Speakers Association New England and became fast friends because she has a skill that I really, really want to emulate and admire, and that skill is organization. Now, you'll also notice that before, as I'm introducing Erica, I did not pronounce her last name because, Erica, that's the one thing I forgot to ask you. I've known you all these years, and I don't want to say it the way I think I've heard it. So how do you say your last name?
So go ahead. No, see if you can do it.
Oh, the way I would say it is Erica Salute.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm right?
Yeah, so you got it right. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't want to butcher it because then I'd butcher
See?
It the whole time. No,
you underestimated yourself. Yes, French.
I've been waiting like 6 months to get you on the show because you are so busy organized. And I was reading the article. I was reading articles that you've been interviewed for. And then I've seen that you have appeared on NPR, ABC, CBS, Fox, Martha Stewart Living, the Boston Globe. And you're an organizing consultant for Real Simple magazine? This is unbelievable.
I was. That's past tense. Yes, I have been. Yep.
Yeah. And you're also an active member of the National Association of Productivity and Organizing Professionals.
I am.
So I'm going to open with this question. Why do I have so much paper on my desk?
Because you do not have a system for it.
Okay, thank you. Do you find that a lot of product of the 80s, people who are product of the 80s, that's what I call myself, but late 80s, Erica, mm-hmm. late 80s, we're not talking early.
Yeah.
When I first got into the workplace, everything was paper, paper, paper. We did not have computers.
Right.
We had word processors.
Right.
So why do we older folks have an issue with paper?
Because we're used to printing when we shouldn't be printing. Like, I hate using the word should, but when I work with 20-year-olds, some of them don't even have printers and they won't print. They don't print anything and they make everything electronic. And we have to really work at doing that more often and not printing as much. We don't need to be printing so much. And also more mail coming in. People thought that we were going to be paperless by now. Even years ago, people thought we'd be paperless years ago, and we're not paperless. So we have to really think about how not to have so much paper coming in. And there's so many techniques for that, like getting off mailing lists and that sort of thing. Because if we have it come in, then we have to deal with it and waste our time.
Well, I know that I have a session coming up with you in a few months. And you sent me that big, long list of things I have to do ahead of time that winded me. So I like put it, I closed the email, but it's in my New Year's resolutions, right?
Good. It's really only about an hour of work. It's really just a lot of tools that I use before I work with people. It helps me get to know them quick so we can hit the ground running and get a lot of that stuff done.
I know. And you're just unbelievable because you can look at a space and know how to organize it. So I have so many questions for you, like 3 hours worth of questions that we're going to try to get into this very quick radio show podcast. But I'm going to start with, what is your approach to organizing?
Yeah, so my approach is a little bit unusual. It's a two-pronged approach, a holistic approach with a coach-centered approach. And I put the two together. So oftentimes, if you look at the holistic approach, people look at the disorganization like it's separated from the rest of their life. You know, like, oh, I'm disorganized, but they don't look at the really big picture of where it came from and what's the like root of what's going on. So in reality, as we know, you know, your work life is connected to your personal life and your emotional life is connected to your work life. We're all one person. So if you keep that in mind and we uncover the root of what's really going on, then people can stay organized for good instead of just getting organized and then it's going to go back to how it was before. So when I work with people, we're looking at mindset, like beliefs and thinking and habits, not just, hey, let me come in and put these baskets here and then you'll be okay. So that's the holistic approach. And then I combine that with a coach-centered approach as well. So I'm asking a lot of questions. I'm working from that knowledge that you're naturally creative and resourceful and whole as a client. And like you're an expert in you and I'm an expert in what I do. You put the two together and it's like a partnership that I'm working with my clients. And that really helps people change their lives, not just their spaces or how they use their time. So that's my approach.
So you're almost saying that getting organized can almost improve our health. Like even at least our mental health.
Yeah, completely. Not just your mental health, because it increases your energy, reduces stress. It helps you gain control. Like, you know, visual clutter, like you talk about your desk. Look at that visual clutter. It's zapping your energy and your focus. Like everyone knows that when they look at it, they're like, what do I do first? The disorganization causes that frustration, anxiety, chaos. I mean, when people call me, the words they use when they start talking about their life, when they want to work with me, is stressed, defeated, anxious, confused, tired, distracted. So you can see overwhelmed, that's a big one. That's the unhealthy side. And then, I mean, people say these kind of words to me after just even one session, like psyched, calm, empowered, encouraged, eager, accomplished, relieved, pleasure. So you can see those are more healthy words, right? They're optimistic, they feel supported, accomplished, like all, it's very much a health, like well-being issue, getting organized. For sure.
Yeah, and I agree with you because before I leave my office, I always want my desk nice and clean, just like before here. However, as soon as I'm into my office in 1 hour, it's like a hurricane came through because I like all my files out at once. I don't want to work on one thing at a time. I like to put them all out. That's not right.
Well, can I call you on that? Can I? That is the worst. I mean, this is one of the things that one of the points that I teach my clients right away is you only want one thing on your desk at a time that you're working on. I mean, just yesterday I was telling my client that because his desk looked like a hurricane hit it like you're describing. And he's also ADHD. So if he's looking at all what he wants to do and there's 20 million things piled up, that's chaos and causes anxiety. One thing at a time. Our brain can only do one task at a time. So if we have more out, it's going to actually create that anxiety and stress.
Oh, great. We're going to go to a very quick break and then get back to talking about psychological and emotional attachment to our clutter.
Leadership at All Levels with Gail Olofsson. It is Leadership at All Levels this time around with Gail Lowney Olofsson. Gail?
We're talking about organization, getting organized for 2024 with Erica Salu, organizational expert. And organization is so different for everyone. There are people who like to keep 7 files on their desk. I'm joking on that. But I also believe that creative minds may look disorganized, yet still know where everything is. So if we have a lot of stuff, Erica, and I'm not talking hoarding right now. I'm just talking like a lot of paper, a lot of books, a lot of, like right now it's Christmas time, so there may be a lot of gifts around holiday season. Why are we emotionally attached? I'll go back. Why are we emotionally attached to our clutter? I'll come full circle as I ask that. I have 4 hat boxes full of thank you notes from my 25 years of teaching at the University of Rhode Island. It's over 1,000 letters. and I absolutely can't throw them out.
So those are two different questions. I'm going to talk, I'll first address what you said second about what you could do with them. So there's a few things. Some people might say, oh, like you're going to like tell me to scan them all, but that's a lot. And I wouldn't say that because unless you're going to have someone else do it, you're probably not, with your lifestyle, going to have time to do that or prioritize that as be something to do. So I would say you might go through, these are some options, go through and pick out the ones that are really like mean something to you, that have like maybe a longer, you know, scenario written in them and they really touch you. Just like if you get a Christmas card, it just has someone's name signed to it. It's different than if someone like actually wrote something really heartfelt in it that really means something to you. And usually those are just few of them, and just keep those because that's going to still give you the same feeling when you read it. You don't need every single one. Or if you do really want to keep every single one, it's about storage. So it's not about that you're keeping them. It's also about how you keep them. Are they organized in a memorabilia box, for instance? So you might put them in a memorabilia box and do just correspondence separate from the rest of your memorabilia. So even I have a separate, because when people used to write letters, I have a separate memorabilia box for just my correspondence. That's separate from my, you know, first bathing suit and my retainer and like little things I want to keep from, you know, that I want to remember things by, you know, wristbands to like certain concerts I went to that meant something. Not every wristband to every concert I went to, but just a meaningful one. So I tell people to go through and make sure all of them have good memories and that you're keeping like the ones that are really meaningful. So that's what I would say about, you know, those letters you're talking about. But in terms of psychology and why we hold on to stuff, first of all, I tell people it's not wrong to hold on to certain items. It's about if you're using it or think it's beautiful. So ask yourself these two questions. Like, is it beautiful? Meaning like, is it a piece of art or something? And is it uplifting you when you look at it? I use this idea that St. Ignatius uses about when you do a discernment, and he says, is it uplifting to you or is it not uplifting, right? And so I just kind of use it for my organizer. I took what he says and said, if you're uplifted by it, keep it. But now if it's an item, are you using it? Have you used it in the last year? And that's when you have to say, why, if I'm not using it, why am I not letting go? So now there's a plethora of reasons why people don't let go to items. But I can, like, I would say, let me give you like the top three that I really see when I'm working with my clients. So here are the top three. I would say fear is one of them. So not having enough someday. If I, this is fear of different things, like not the same fear. Everyone has different fears. Maybe when I work with artists, they might feel like what you just said, I'm going to lose my creativity if I get organized. So I've worked with artists that say, well, I didn't. I had that fear when I started, because I always ask my clients, like, what do you fear? What are you going to fear about this process? Tell me. And when they get organized, they're like, no, now I can find my paintbrushes when I need it. I know where all the color palettes are. Like before, I couldn't. So that fear isn't really founded. The other one is like, you think that, so it's an excuse for not getting your important task done. And your subconscious knows that. So if you have to keep getting organized and tell yourself, I got to get organized first, you can't get to what's really important that might be scaring you. And that's the fear of that. And the other one is just fear of living in the present moment. I find a lot of people, if they're running all the time and disorganized, they're not really living right in the present moment. And for some reason, they fear that. So that's one is fear. The other one is missing life element. So in other words, the stuff is a substitute for something else that they're missing in their life that they really want. So it could be an intimate relationship, safety and security, for more freedom, understanding from other people. But because they don't have that, the stuff is the substitute. And it's not really working as a substitute. It's not giving them freedom, safety. It's usually working opposite. But in their subconscious, they think that it's substitute for that. And that's what's going on. And the last one that I would say, once again, there's like a way more than just these three, but is like that they're living in the past, like the sentimentality of certain items that their past life is better. So I tell people, and this comes from Peter Walsh, an organizer who was a psychologist before he became an organizer. He was Oprah's organizer after Julie Morgenstern. And he always said in the show that he had, he said, ask yourself, are my best memories behind me or in front of me? And that really helps you get clear. Like if you think like, oh, my best memory, like if you're holding on to all these letters because, oh, these students really love me, but you're teaching now and like your current students love you. You always have new energy coming in. So why do you need to keep all the past? Like if you believe that you're going to, oh, I don't need all the plane tickets, the places that I went because I'm going to go to Paris again. I don't need that. So I really think that's a really great question to ask yourself. If you think the sentimentality is one of the reasons. But like I said, there's so many others. But I'll just touching on those will, you know, maybe get people thinking.
Are my best memories behind me or in front of me? I mean, I always find my best memories are in front of me, but I am extraordinarily sentimental. Erica, I had a grandmother, Babcia, Polish for grandmother, that her bureau was all cluttered with stuff. And it was fascinating as a kid to look at all that stuff on her bureau. I think I got influenced by that. Although I do have a neat bureau because I want to find things in the morning. It's just the paper. I'm paper queen. All right. So I'm just going to make sure, like, separate the emotional attachment. Here's going to be my deal with you. By the time I see you in January, or February, whenever we meet for the organizational project, I'm going to take 4 hat boxes into 1. Can I do it?
Awesome. You can do it.
That's it. I'm going to do it.
I have a whole paper system I'm going to teach you, and then I'm going to personalize just for you. So you're not going to have these files anymore.
Okay.
You get on board. I promise.
So here's the next thing. When we feel overwhelmed, like you, let's say you have a whole area that just needs to be cleaned up. We start procrastinating it because we feel blocked. So what is the best way to begin?
Yeah, I mean, that's like I said, one of the words I hear from people is overwhelm. The first thing they say to me is like the most popular word I hear. So I always say start small. So don't think you're going to like get organized like all in one go and set a timer. So you don't think it's going to take up your whole existence. So like maybe say, I'm going to work even a half an hour on this or 15 minutes on this and start with a small project, not the biggest project, like maybe just a drawer instead of your whole living room. And then also get support. Like, as we know, the more support we have in anything that we do, the more we're likely to succeed. So maybe book a time with a friend, like you help the friend do something. It doesn't have to be organizing. You help them or shadow them or hold space for them doing something else. It could be organizing, it could be something else. And then they come over and hold that space. So you're like booking the time, just like you might say, I'm booking a time to go to dinner and you're going to show up. So that way you're going to have to show up because you booked a time to do it. And then there's like this little game that I have my clients play when I'm with them. And sometimes when I'm not with them, I told a client the other day to do this as homework without me. It's called Friends, Strangers, and Acquaintances. And what you do is you take any sort of item. You could say like all my sweaters or all my pants or all my books, and you put them into 3 categories. Friends, we all know what friends are. We love hanging out with them. We're with them all the time. I feel great with them. Acquaintances, which is like, you know, sometimes it's okay, but not like really fabulous. And then strangers. And usually when people sort into those 3 categories, they usually let go of the ones that are the strangers and they keep some of the acquaintances and they keep all the friends, but it helps them. And then sometimes people get rid of like even all the acquaintances. It depends what they're doing, right, in their mindset. So that's just one little, these are 3 things that I would say that help people sort of get unstuck, like from the procrastinating of doing it.
No, I love that. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to do that. The friends, strangers, and acquaintances. You know what's going into acquaintances? My jeans that are too tight.
That's a tough one for people.
They're not my friends.
If you can
They're
do
definitely
that,
not my
yeah,
friends.
You're a star.
let's see if I was doing it. I'm going to make a bin of clothes, things that just don't fit or just don't look good, and call it acquaintances. And if 3 months I don't look at them, I'm going to just take them and give them to a new home, find them a new home. How's that?
See? Yeah, so exactly.
Already.
Someone else can be wearing them.
Yes, and we've got 2 successful strategies that I'm going to start just because of you. So we'll go to a quick break and then come back and continue with Erica Salu, Organizational Specialist.
And Gail Launia-Lofson, Leadership at All Levels, here on FM 101.1 and AM 1540. Well, welcome back. It is Leadership at All Levels with Gail Launia-Lofson live on WADK, and it'll be available on our podcast channel on WADK.com. And if you follow Gail Launia-Lofson, you can pick this up on her podcast as well. Gail?
Well, thank you, Bruce. And we are talking to Erica Salu. And yesterday, Erica is an organizational expert. And yesterday, Erica, when I was speaking for National Grid, I asked the women in the audience, because the topic was reigniting your spark, 24 ways to jumpstart 2024. How much fun. And I said, how many of you will have organization and would love more organizational insight for the new year? And everyone, I'd say 90% of the audience wanted more organization and wants to learn more about you. So that's a good thing. So here's the thing. If we have a New Year resolution to get organized, what are some of your top four or five tips, real great tips that are going to help us achieve this?
So number one, I would say, is write down your big why. Like, why do you want to get organized? So in anything, especially we talk about this in business circles, entrepreneurs, we say, what's the reason behind why what your business is about? And the same thing you can do for any goal that you have personally or in work. Like, why do you want to get organized? And then drill down, like, to the real core of the reason that you want to get organized. Then book the time in your calendar. Like I was just talking about when you're working with a friend, if you have it scheduled, and you're respecting that you scheduled time with yourself, respect that just as much as you would if someone else was involved and you were going to an event and schedule it. And then create bold boundaries, what I call bold boundaries. And I do talks entirely on boundaries between like business, personal life, and with our relationships, because they protect your time, your relationship, and your well-being. Like if we don't, Brené Brown talks about how trust in a relationship and having really good boundaries makes a good relationship. It actually increases our intimacy. So that also helps us have time to say, I'm going to work on this and I'm going to create a boundary around that. And people then can respect me. And it's going to work so much better than if you have no boundaries around what you're doing when. And then once again, get support. You're going to hear me say get support a lot because that's going to help. And then work on it during your high energy time. So in other words, if we know our energy level, a lot of people do know, when am I feel more energized during the day? Some people are more morning person. Some people are more night person. I'm more energized at night. So if you know that and you're not really great at organizing and you know it's going to be a challenge and you're kind of procrastinating on it, you want to do it when you have a high energy level, not when you have a low energy level.
No, I love this. It's even like with exercise for me, like the big why. Why do I want to exercise? Because I want to be healthy and I want to live, you know. Book time in your calendar.
Right.
Like I'm equating it to that. Yeah. Every single morning, 6 a.m. So I leave the house at 5:45. Then I protect that time, Erica, like a mother lion. That is my time. In fact, this morning, my husband's saying, why don't you wait a little bit and we could take a walk? I said, I have the radio show with Erica today. I got to get in that office, get stuff moving. Never mind. Wait and take a walk. And right. I'm going through this. I never thought of it. My support is my sister because she'll call me. So we talk to each other. She's exercising and I'm exercising, which now you can tell our exercise isn't very impressive. Because if you were really exercising, you couldn't talk. But we're either on the elliptical or walking and just you're getting out there, you're moving. So it's interesting when you're talking right. about high energy time, because I'm morning. But I find that in the evening is when I want to put away some laundry, more of the mundane tasks of being organized.
Right. That's because, the reason is because you're high energy time. That's harder stuff that you're doing. Putting away laundry isn't like hard for you to do. So that's why you're like, oh, I'll do the easy stuff when I have a lower energy. That makes
okay.
sense.
Yeah.
Would hate putting away laundry. Like I have clients who that would need to be their high energy time because they procrastinate. They hate putting away laundry. So literally, like I had a client this week who said that to me, the laundry was piled up on the couch. And that's why, because it's not something that client likes to do. So they probably need to
do it
during their high energy time. But everyone's different. Like we all have different blocks. You know what I mean? Like you can't say it's going to work for everybody. And what's high energy? When did someone needs to do something that's challenging? We're all different.
Yeah.
So that's why when I work with people, I have to like personalize what we do with each client. We're not all the same.
So my exercise sister is Jennifer. My other one, I'm a little proud of myself right now. I'm just going to pat myself on the back because my sister Marilyn, 2 years ago, God, or was it three? It was January of 2021. She said, while we talk today, because my mother always said, whatever you do on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day, you do all year. So you want to make sure you see a family member, talk to your sisters, don't fight, all these, it's just a silly thing. So my sisters and I talk. So, and we're on the phone and my sister Marilyn said, let's clean out our drawers while we talk. Like, let's get them all organized. Erica, my drawers have been organized for 2 years because I love opening it up and socks are organized, underwear, shirts, pajamas,
right.
workout clothes. I'm loving these organized drawers. Now, don't ask about other areas, But those drawers, and it really helps my mindset. And also having a clean car, making sure my car is clean, like having the inside clean. Do you think that helps people's mindset too, those organizational pockets?
Well, of course. And as a matter of fact, I use that once we get something organized or a space organized with one of a client, then I will say, can you tell me how you felt when we finished that or you accomplished that? And then they go into their body and it's a somatic exercise. They feel what it felt like. So you could do this and you can use it, harness that to say, okay, I want more of that. Where else could I do that?
Yeah.
Where else can I get that energy? Like to, if I open the drawer and I feel really great. Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. And my car looks so great. When I get in my car, I feel like so great that it's organized, right? How can I get more of that energy? Okay, maybe I could work on the living room. You know, maybe I can work on my closet where my clothes go. Like, and I'm going to get more of that energy. So that can be a motivator, like feeling that energy in your body and what it feels like.
Yeah, no, I love that. And then there's a lot of mistakes that people make when they're getting organized. And I know you called me out on one. I like to listen to a podcast while I'm getting organized. And you told me, no, listen to either instrumental music if I'm going to get distracted by lyrics. So what are other mistakes that you see with people getting organized?
There's a ton of them, but I'll tell you the ones that I think a lot. And when I start working with people, one is that they point the finger at other people. So they don't want to take ownership that they can make the change themselves, like owning, taking the responsibility. But that's a really big one to start off. If you can't get by that, then you're not going to start, right? You're going to probably say, oh, because my husband is so like messes up everything, or I have so many kids and blah. They're like making excuses. Another one is like they're not addressing the psychological component like we talked about. They're just addressing the physical part of it. And they're not addressing like, why is it going to go backwards? A lot of times people tell me, I've gotten organized, but then it goes back to how it was before a few months later. So the fact that you've been able to maintain those drawers means that you probably changed something that was really at the core of what was going on so you could keep it that way. So you have to look at the whole big picture. And a lot of times people don't do that. And then the other component that I see is that people expect, you know, there's been disorder for years and years and years that's built up, but they expect like they're going to fix it in one weekend or one day or a few hours.
Yes, definitely.
And then that sets you up for failure. So you feel bad about yourself. You're like, oh, how come I didn't get organized in this weekend that I set aside? You know, people will go like, oh, I have people coming over and I want to get organized this weekend. And it's been years of buildup. So if you feel defeated, then you don't want to go back to it because you don't want that feeling again. So you don't go back to getting organized and like working on it further, you know, like step by step, little by little, small little chunks.
No, that is like excellent advice because we get overwhelmed. We're like, we can't do this. It's like, get rid of those words. You can do that. So when working with your clients, what items do you notice the most that are missing from an office, either a home office or work office, that you really need to get organized?
So I think a lot of people might laugh at some of the ones that I find. Well, number one is people don't sometimes even have an office set up, even though they have a whole room. So they'll have a whole room, but it's just piled up with junk and they're not using it as an office. So number one, first of all, having a separate space. Even if it's like, if they don't have a separate room, to have like a space that's really just designated for that. So it's cordoned off and it's just for your office. And then literally not having a desk. So people are working on their dining room table, on the couch, like they do not have a designated desk. So that's an item that I find that's missing a lot. And like I said, some people might be laughing at this going, well, an office with no desk, how could that be? But I see this all the time. Not having a really good chair that's really comfortable. So you want a chair that's ergonomically correct, comfortable, goes up and down. Usually it shouldn't have any arms because you tend to rest your arms on the chair and then it's ergonomically incorrect if you have the little armrest. So you could buy a chair and then take the arms off or not have a, you know, arms. And then just having a recycle bin because we're not paperless, like I was talking about, and having a bin that you can put the recycling into separately. So people will just throw stuff on the floor or keep it on their desk when they really want to throw it out because there's no bin. It's like in the kitchen, it's far away from where their office is. And then a whole system for like to-dos. Like we talked about when I said I work with you and help you set up a system, you need to have like something like paper trays or whatever. You need some sort of system, and everyone's different. It works different for them to have like your to-dos, your bills, stuff that's pending, all of that. some sort of way that you can let go of personal information, like a shredder or like a guard your ID roller, where you can like roll over the information and toss it. Because once again, people have shredding piled up because, oh, I can't throw that away because it has some personal information on it. So you need a system for that. So either of those two. Once again, a file cabinet, it sounds sometimes like a no-brainer, but once again, we're not paperless. People don't have a file cabinet. So they don't know where to put the paper that they need to keep, but they don't need to act on it. So that's a whole thing that I really find that people really need is a file cabinet. And then just some sort of organizational system for all their supplies. So like, you know how you talked about the drawer, you open the drawer and it's really organized. So a desk drawer or something where it's night, you open it up and it's everything, you can see everything. And, you know, scissors and stapler and stickies and like everything's in its place. So those are the main things that I sort of see. There's a few more, but those are the main like ones that I see that people don't really have in their office that they really need.
No, I'm loving this.
One tech thing. You know what? Do I have time to add one more tech thing I would add?
Yeah, real quick. Yeah. Because we're going to tech in the next segment.
But extra set of cables. So you're not unplugging your cables every time you go out somewhere else with your computer. Like you have extra set that you carry around for travel, like whether you're going to a cafe or you're flying somewhere. So you're not like dismantling your system in your office. That's another big one.
All right, we're going to start with that. So we'll go to break and we're going to start with that extra equipment, extra chargers.
It's Leadership at All Levels, Gail Lowney-Olofsson. It always flies by. This hour we spend with Gail Olofsson, it's Leadership at All Levels, Gail.
Yes, and we started to talk about tech tips. And Erica, I think I'm doing another thing right. I'm like patting myself on the shoulder because believe me, I'm doing a lot of things wrong. So one of the things for travel, because the number one item left behind when you travel is a toothbrush. Can you imagine? The number two is a cell phone charger. This, I'm sure it goes back and forth with different items, but that was in the latest Googling that I've done. So I have this here, my little computer tote, and I do something that you won't like. I travel with two laptops. I travel with a Mac and a PC. I know it's a long story. We won't get into it for this. I see your face because Eric and I are looking at each other on Zoom. But I keep two chargers. I keep both chargers. They always live in here. They only come out if I'm at the hotel. And then at my office, I've got the charger right on my desk so I can put them back in. That way I never lose them. So is that Erica
great.
Approved? That's Erica.
Yeah, that's pre-packed. It's part of my Jetpack system that I teach people. And you know what? You can do it with the toothbrush too. So with my Jetpack system, everything is pre-packed except for your clothes. Like you have the tech pre-packed, you have a periphery bag of like anything you might use, like if it's a Swiss Army knife or a candle or something, it's always pre-packed. You have your toiletries pre-packed, everything's pre-packed. And all you're doing is replenishing those when you travel. You're not taking them out and using them. People are like running around looking for things to put in their toiletry bag before they travel. That's insanity. Just have everything pre-packed that's only for travel, just like you described with your tech. So you're not dismantling your home system. You have just a travel system for when you travel. You can do it with everything.
I'm doing a fourth thing, right, Erica? Because I always keep one suitcase packed. Is that good? Am I sounding a little bit like a know-it-all in front of the expert? I think that's my defensive mechanism coming up here.
Well, no, you have certain parts of your life that you're really organized with. That's awesome.
Let me tell you, 10%, Erica, 10%.
I don't know. I think you might be underestimating yourself again because I think you have more than 10%. But I don't, when you say packed, if you mean clothes, that would be.
No. The suitcase. The suitcase is
everything
packed.
But clothes.
Yeah. With everything in there. No, it has sneakers and gym
concept.
Clothes. Yeah. It has that in there. Too.
That's awesome. It's great. Yeah. I think it's good. I mean, one of my clients, I taught my Jetpack system, and her husband used to always travel last minute, and she would never be ready to go because he'd be like, we have to leave, and she couldn't get it together. But after I taught her the system, she said to me, she wrote me this testimonial, now when my husband wants to, I can say I'm going to be ready in an hour. She can be ready.
No, that is fantastic advice. I have a husband who is extraordinarily neatnik, keeps everything clean. So the whole house is clean except for my rebellion room and a little bit of the basement. I keep creeping. He calls it the creep as I creep. And our son is organized. He copied my husband. So I think that's good because I had a friend visit once and he said to me, "Oh my gosh, Gail, you have more pens than I've, and you hoard pens." And it stabbed me because I didn't like that word hoard. You hoard pens? Mm. And I'm like, oh gosh, don't even open up that door of my office because I hoard a lot more than pens. But it's like one rebellion room. So that is not, is that okay to have a rebellion room, or should I kind of get that cleaned up too?
Well, so it goes back to what you were saying about something creative. You said the creative person knows where everything is and it looks disorganized. It's only about if the disorder is getting in the way of you leading the lifestyle you want to lead. So I never would go in and change something if someone's like, it works for me and it's not bothering anybody else they live with. So it might not bother you, but if someone else has to use the room and it bothers them, then you have to have some consensus going on there. But, you know, describe that room and if it's like working for you. But if it's not working for you, then there's room for change, right? And I would say, no, let's change it so it works better for you.
You're so good. Do you think you're like a little bit of a psychiatrist too when you're doing this, or psychologist when you're working with couples or home? And
so my client, I tell people that I'm not a therapist, but my clients definitely have given me testimonials or even talked to me and said, this was better than therapy. Or one of my clients just wrote on Facebook, Erica is expensive, but it's less expensive than a divorce or therapy. And that it saved like her marriage and a lot of friction. And people will say sometimes after the first session, oh my gosh, you just hit on the thing my therapist and I have been working on for like 3 years. Or we just changed something that I couldn't figure out with my therapist. So I'm super intuitive. So that's one reason. And also my approach is very holistic. So I'm looking at what's going on. And I'm asking like questions that get me to the root. So I know it's really like the coach approach is asking the right question, right? So if you know anything about coaching. So a lot of times I'm getting to like that root really quickly because that's going to help someone change for good. So yeah, that's, I'm not a therapist. And I also know when to say to my clients, okay, that thing, bring to your therapist, that issue, you know, the couple, I'll say to my couple, you know, clients, okay, that issue between you two, that's where I get, that's like not my wheelhouse. And you have to bring that to the therapist. But when you work it out, it'll help the organizing process. So, you know, I know where to say like, you know, that's not my zone anymore.
So I want to make sure that, I mean, this is so much invaluable information from organization is good for our health. Do one project at a time. Are my best memories behind me or in front of me? Breaking our items, like categorizing them, friends, strangers, acquaintances, and asking yourself the big why. So if people want to learn more about you, how do they find you? Your web address, your correct corporate name.
So my company is called Living Harmony. It's an LLC. It's in Cambridge. I've been in business for 20 years. This March will be 21. And my website is living-harmony.org. And all the information is there. And you can always call me if someone wants to like just get acquainted and see if we're a good fit to work together. I talk to everybody for free. That's like complimentary for like half an hour. It takes that amount of
you
time.
You do? That is.
Yeah.
That's so generous.
Like really listen to what's going on. Takes about half an hour.
Wow, that is so generous.
And I help people be like, you know, really focused when we talk. So they, cause sometimes I ask them, you know, really tough questions.
So in our 3 minutes that we have left, I'm going to ask you the question of what is advice that you would, going back to, because leadership, organization is all about leadership. Like if you're an organized leader, you're going to be just a stronger leader, I think. Maybe that's, you know, I don't want to be pejorative, but if you're organized and your paper's organized and your life is organized as best as you can be, or at least aim for it. But what advice would you give to your younger self? Just in general, leadership advice, life advice.
So I would say, and this is something that I still haven't really mastered, but I'm still working on it. I think it's probably my life journey is to be able to be vulnerable. Because I think like good leaders show vulnerability and that helps their team be more able to be vulnerable and share what's really going on. And like there can be an honest dialogue when we're vulnerable.
Yeah, that is it. No, it is. It's, and being vulnerable. Were you organized? Like, did you come out of the womb organized or did you learn this?
No, I came out that way. I mean, everyone said when I became an organizer, my friends would say, of course, it makes total sense now. When we traveled, you would always have everything that we needed and you didn't even have big luggage, stuff like that. So yes, I grew up moving a lot when I was young. We moved like 12 times from the time I was born to went to university. So I had to figure out what could I control that was not going to help me not be chaotic. My personality, I like to be in control. So that was my room because I had three younger brothers. So I had my own room. So that really sort of, I think, is where it began. And my mother was always very organized. So I think I really learned it from her very young, like how she put like stuff together all the time. Like I really learned that even in my subconscious. I didn't know that was happening, but that's what was happening. So I've always been organized. Just it's natural to me. It's natural that I walk into a room and I see how it could be better.
Excellent. Great hour with Gail Olofsson and her guest. Follow Gail on social media and you can hear this at WADK.com. Just look for our podcast page.
Thank you, Bruce, for another great show. And Erica Salu for being here with us. We can visit Erica, E-R-I-K-A, at living-harmony.org. Erica at living-harmony.org for more information on Erica, her services, and lots of resources on her website. So thank you very much and happy 2024. It's time to get organized.
Thanks,
We've got this. Your someday is now. What are you waiting for?